No better way to get a year started, and we have an exciting event happening next weekend, actually, for Lauren and Tom are getting married. They're not here this morning, but just wanted to encourage us to be praying for them this coming week, with the wedding being next week. So we're very excited for Lauren and Tom and their wedding. I'm going to get straight into this. I'm excited about this message this morning. I really do feel there are some things in here, not because I'm speaking, but because it's God's word. And so therefore it has the potential and the ability to bring change in our world if our hearts and minds are open to that. But before we get started, I just want us to reflect just on last year for a second and just get you to think about these questions before we get into looking at what 2023 might actually look like. If I was to ask you, identify how you grew in your faith last year, what would your answer be? Not vagaries or generalities. I would want you to be really specific in how did you grow in your faith last year. I would want you to be specific and identify how last year you became more like Jesus. In what ways, shapes and forms does your life reflect that you're being transformed more and more into the image and likeness of Jesus, and that you're more in love with him than you've been before? I mean, we all know that to love someone is an act of your will. It's a choice that we make on the daily that goes beyond feelings. And I'm so grateful to and blessed to be married to Nat. And I would say, not being cheesy, yes, good preaching, Nat said, yep, go, that I'm more in love with Nat now than I was when, you know, we first got married. But the love is very different, and it's deeper and it's richer. It's more mature and it's more rewarding. Nat's more mature, I'm not. But because it doesn't matter. Moving on. But no, this whole idea that our growth in our faith and our love for Jesus has to be an intentional act in our lives. It's about prioritizing. It's about scheduling. It's about thinking about what are the most important things. And so if I was to ask you, how did you grow in your faith? Maybe some of these things that I'm about to go through, you can relate to, or when you get to the end of 2023, you're going to be able to go, you know what, I grew in that particular area. Maybe it's just knowing more about Jesus, just getting more into some theology and getting deeper into his word, and that you're just more consistent in your daily prayers and rhythms and habits of reading scripture and praying, and that you actually make a priority of coming to church. Now, this just isn't the senior pastor trying to get bums on seats. I wholeheartedly believe, passionately believe, in the importance of being in community and gathering together on a weekly basis. You know, Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he writes these words, "I consider or I reckon that our present sufferings are not comparable to the glory that will be revealed in us." See, if you don't know the Apostle Paul, like, I mean, he's bordering on genius. He's super smart, a real academic, a real intellect. And the words that he writes, filled with meaning, and the Greek in this term, to consider or to reckon, is actually an accounting term where he weighs up. He literally writes a list of pros and cons, or he writes a ledger of this side and that side. Over this side are his sufferings. And if you know anything about Paul, he went through a lot of sufferings and a lot of hardship. And he gave up so much. He gave up his career, gave up his academics, he gave up his status and his profile, all of that kind of thing, because he had one encounter with Jesus. And so here he has, he's got this long, what we would consider to be a long list of pretty serious and intense sufferings and challenges and trials. Anyone in the room got some challenges or trials this morning? Ah, oh, three of us, far out. Cool. So he's got this long list, but then what he says is that he needs to write that list, but then he needs to remind himself, he needs to consider, he needs to reckon, he needs to start thinking about the insurpassable glories and gifts and grace and mercy that God has given him on this side. And suddenly this list starts to get longer, not only of what God has done, but what God is doing and what God promises to do and the eternal glory and hope that awaits us. Suddenly this list is like just way too long, and we take a look at this list and it gets very, very small. Small, pale and insignificant compared to this list. And that's why coming to church, that's one of the things that coming to the church should do for you. Because the challenges, the trials, the pressures, the temptations that all of us face on a weekly, we should get back into a faith-filled atmosphere filled with the presence of God's space to be reminded about this list. So I get refreshed, I get my cup filled, and I get empowered. I go, you know what? Sunday's the first day of the week and I'm taking on the world this week, and the world will lose. Oh, come on, that was good, church. Come on. Seriously. I'm going to preach myself happy this morning, but this morning, what I'm talking about is maybe that you talk about how will I grow my faith in 2023. You'll be about seeking wisdom and understanding and growing and learning, and you're intentional about developing the gifts that God has given you and that you use them within the body of Christ, but more importantly, that you use them outside of the four walls of the church. So what I'm talking about here is, yes, we can maybe get to the end of this year and we can identify how we've grown in our faith from a head point of view, but as we know, it can't just be head knowledge, right? It's got to be more about heart transformation, which leads to life transformation, leads to behavior change, attitude change, interaction, relational change, every area of our life changed. When there's a heart revelation and heart change, because there is this righteousness that God imputes that he gives to us when we accept Jesus Christ through what Michael so wonderfully reminded us of this morning of what he accomplished on the cross. None of us are worthy to be in a relationship with a perfect God, but because of what Christ has done, he then washes me clean and I become a new creation and I'm acceptable in the sight of God, even though that inner righteousness has to work itself out through my behaviors and my actions and my attitudes. And so at the end of 2023, you might be able to look around and reflect on your life and you might be able to think to yourself, you know what, I responded differently this year than what I had before. I'm less angry, I'm less anxious, maybe I'm less volatile, or maybe I'm actually calmer and more gentle. Maybe I swear less, maybe I get involved in dirty jokes less over this coming year. Maybe I just start becoming a better human being. And did you know what? That's one of the key things that Jesus wants you to become, is just a better human, all that you were created to be, a better human being. People go, yeah, I want to go from good to great. Some of us just need to start being good and then worry about the great later. Let's just get the good bit sorted. But we can get to the end of this year and maybe I can reflect and look back and, you know what, I'm more joyful and I'm less entitled. The more entitled you are, the less joy you'll have in your life. Maybe that you'll look and you'll just go, I've grown in my faith because I've got different priorities and I've got different passions. I'm actually more compassionate, I'm more caring, I'm more kind, selfless, servant-hearted. Actually, people want to be around me now. Who would have thought? That I've grown in my faith, becoming more like Jesus. Maybe at the end of this year, I can look back and go, you know what, I'm hungrier and I'll take any opportunity I can get, whether it's at Sundays or whether it's getting involved in a life group or whether it's getting involved in youth or getting our kids into the presence of God or our grommets in the presence of God. Parents, can I implore you, dare I say beg, I grew up in the presence of God and it's only in my latter years that I realize what a blessing that is, because you know what, our kids are bombarded every single day with messages and this so-called truth, let it be your truth, it's all relative. No, it's the word of God that's unchanging. Getting our kids under the word of God, the truth is not compromisable, not our truth, according to the word of God. You know, maybe at the end of this year, we're going to actually look back and go, you know what, I had the courage to stand up when otherwise I would have just sat down with everyone else. When the tide is going this way, I decided to stand up, even though it wasn't popular and wasn't sure what was going to happen, I decided to stand up. Maybe at the end of this year, you know you've grown in your faith because the wrong stuff that you're drawn to, that you look at, that you do, has lost its appeal. Maybe you get to the end of this year, you've grown in your faith because you can actually say, you know what, I see my studies, I see my job, I see my family, I see my neighbors, I see my friends differently. Because now no longer is it about the cars, the house, the cash, no longer is it about the promotion. And all of those things are okay, and that just should be a result of your integrity and your character and Christ-like work and your effectiveness and the results and your performance. Absolutely. But suddenly it's not about that. It's actually about the people that I engage with and the people that I work with become more important to me. We see people differently. At the end of this year, we'll look back and we'll just go, I've grown in my faith because somehow I see my time differently. Where I put my time, where I put my resources, where I put my money, because where my money is, that's where my heart is. Reflects where that's at. Get to the end of this year, I've grown in my faith because no longer is it about me and what can I get, but I actually serve. Can I just say, you know, let me be really clear about Compass Church. We have an expectation in this church. There are exceptions to what I'm about to say because some people need the time of healing and come back to a place of wholeness. I get that. But in the life of our church, when you're here for at least 6 months, that we are a family and everyone has a role and a function and a part to play. And at the end of the year, you might look back and go, you know, I've grown in my faith because I understand it's not just always about me, but I can actually help to serve others. There's so many different ways that you can serve in the life of this church. So how, at the end of 2023, are you going to be able to look back and go, you know, I've grown in my faith because not just the head knowledge and I know more stuff, but it's actually translated to heart transformation, which has led to life transformation, which is seen in my actions. So how are you going to measure that in 2023? Well, I want to give you three things that I believe will help you start 2023 strong and stay strong if you can keep these at the forefront of your mind. Anyone interested? Too bad, you're in the room, going to listen. All right, number one. I don't want to oversimplify this, but the bottom line is the Bible commands us to do something. That means it's not an optional extra. You know, if I could be bothered. No. Jesus said this is what we are to do, and that is love God with all. Above all else, love God. You know, Jesus had regular run-ins with the religious leaders, right? So he just dealt with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, put them in their place. Then one of the Pharisees, a lawyer particularly, says to Jesus, you know, which is the greatest commandment? Wanting him to kind of get into this debate about which one's more important. And Jesus just goes, bang. He declared, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Is anyone confused by that? I think it's pretty clear of what, you know, that he's saying that we are, our primary priority of focus and attention needs to be on him being Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Loving him with all of ours. And we'll love other things, but they are to be loved less than we love him. He needs to take the position and the seat of all authority and preeminence. Either we sit on it or we put something else on that seat. But Jesus Christ is saying, that's my seat. Does he have that seat in your life? Does he actually take that place in your life? Because I reckon if I went around the room, I'm not asking anyone to respond this morning, but if I went around the room and I said, you know, how are you tracking with that one? I think if we were honest, we'd probably just go, yeah, probably 50-50. 80-20. You know, when someone, or should I say something, comes in and starts to dethrone Jesus and starts to take that position of all, and it becomes actually then becomes a greater focus of our love and priorities, whether it's a person or whether it's a career or a financial goal or that promotion or the acceptance into a particular social circle, whatever it might be. I think if we were to be honest with ourselves, we'd probably kind of go, yeah, I can actually own that one. And I think, you know, one of my jobs as the pastor of Compass Church is to provide you with opportunities so that you can recalibrate, realign, and make sure that you're walking in honesty and integrity where you can actually say that I'm doing my best with God's help to love him with all my heart, my soul, my strength. You see, it's up to us as a leadership and a church to provide you with those opportunities, but whose responsibility is it to take them up? I'm looking at you. We can't do that for you, because we know on the other side of that decision is your breakthrough. On the other side of that decision is where the fullness of life will come from. But we can't do that for you. You've got to seize the day. You've got to grab those opportunities that are presented to you on a Sunday, each and every Sunday. And I'm plugging Sundays here this morning, but I believe passionately in about what happens in this place, because when the people of God get together, that's when stuff can happen. It can happen anywhere, but I believe there's something unique and wonderful that God inhabits the praise of his people, and he wants to do dynamic, wonderful things in this room whenever we gather together, or at youth or kids or grommets or chicks or blokes or life groups, any opportunity that we have to get together. So we provide the opportunities. It's up to you, what are you going to do with them? Because otherwise you'll get to the end of 2023, and like James says, when you're double-minded, you'll be unstable in all your ways and you'll be dissatisfied in your life. So all I can do is provide the opportunities, all we can do is provide you the opportunities. It's up to you to take them. But loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You know, I just want to approach this just a little bit differently. I think that most of us, when we acknowledge that we've fallen short on this one and we own that, and if we're not in a place to do that, well, obviously this morning we're doing that, so it's kind of confronting. But what we do is we acknowledge we've fallen short, where something or someone else has taken that place of all that's meant to be exclusively for the Lord. We tend to do what Scripture asks us to do, or we should do what Scripture asks us to do, and that is to repent for falling short. Repent and saying, Lord, I'm so sorry, I've fallen short of that standard, and I ask that you would forgive me and I receive the forgiveness so I can walk back into the fullness and the rightness of a relationship with you. And we do that. But what can happen is that when it's left at just that, what can happen is that before too long we do that on maybe a weekly basis or a fortnightly or a monthly basis or around a time of communion. It's such a precious, powerful time for us to reflect on that. But quite often, and I don't want to be a prophet of doom, but we leave this place and before too long we slip back into or we stumble back over that thing that causes us to stumble, or we look at what we're not meant to, or we touch what we're not meant to touch. And so coming back into an environment where it feels like I just keep doing this, there's no power, there's no change in my life. And this morning, I just want to present to you one powerful yet rubber meeting the road key, I believe, that can help you be a, this can be a catalyst to break the cycle of the repetition of falling into temptation or sin so that you can start the year strong and stay strong. Is anyone interested? Yeah. All right, I believe in repentance, don't get me wrong. And we should do that, but there is something I don't think we do enough of. I was listening to a message by Tim Keller, and I love his preaching, and he just sort of in passing mentioned a 17th century poet, which I don't read a lot of, just to be honest. But a guy named John Donne, and he was a lawyer, he was a soldier, he was a poet, also a priest. And he wrote a particular holy sonnet, and check this out for a title. You ready for this? This was the title of his sonnet. Batter My Heart, Three-Personed God. Have I got your attention? Batter My Heart, Three-Personed God. And on the screen you'll see just an excerpt from this particular sonnet. But within it, there's some incredible power. It says, take me to you, imprison me, for I, except you enthrall me, never shall be free, nor ever chaste, except you ravish me. You see, unless you enthrall me, except you ravish me. This guy gets it. You see, unless we become overwhelmed, unless we become captivated, unless we can become enamored and enthralled and ravished with God, the love of God and love for God, everything else will still have power to seduce me. Think about that. You see, unless, Lord, you enthrall me and ravish me, I'll never be able to be sure to overcome the sexual, the economical, the power seductions that get thrown at me every single day by the bucket loads. That word chaste, where chastity comes from, means to be able to avoid and stay away from and not fall into sexual temptation. It says, nor ever chase, except you ravish me. Unless, Lord, unless you enthrall me, unless you ravish me, all these other things will continue to maintain their appeal and be tempting to me. See, unless we're willing to fully open our hearts and lives and surrender to His love, and not just His love, God is not just loving, but God is love. And when He comes into your world, and you allow more and more of Him to come into your world and to ravish you and to enthrall you and to captivate you and to grab you, and you experience His love, it changes your life. And if you think you've experienced the love of God, I'm not doubting that, but can I just say there is more for you to experience when it comes to the love of God. See, the key here is to repent. To turn from going this way, to turn to going this way. Yes, we want to turn from the things that we know we keep stumbling over and tripping over and falling into and keep repeating and repeating. But one thing I don't think we repent enough of is that we don't repent for a lack of softness. We don't repent for a soft-heartedness, wanting just being hard-hearted. We don't repent for that towards Jesus, because let me tell you, when you are ravished with Jesus, when you're enthralled with Jesus, and His love is evident and you're experiencing that, encountering that on the daily, which we all can, that love will compel you to do the right thing. But it'll also constrain you from doing the wrong thing. Isn't that what love is? I cannot think about committing adultery and betraying the covenant vows that I've made with my wife. Number one, because she scares the bejeebus out of me. No, just kidding. No, but I love Nat. But I love Jesus even more. And there's no way on God's green earth that I would ever consider doing that, because I know not only would it break my wife's heart and destroy a family, but it would be like, no, it would break my best friend, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's heart. His love constrains me, but it also compels me to be a better father, to be a better dad, to be a better friend, to be a better pastor, to be better whatever. Compels me to do those things. You see, until we allow God to ravish us, until we allow God to enthrall us, I mean, have you ever been enthralled with Jesus? Was there ever a day you were more in love with Jesus than you are today? What happened or who happened? Stuff happens. And maybe you can sit justified in your pain and your bitterness and your resentment, but the only person missing out is you. Because there is a God of love that wants to capture you, and he wants to ravish you, and he wants to enthrall you, to change your whole world about how you see the world and how you behave within the world. We need to repent for our lack of love for Jesus. You know, I've been drawn to this song by Crowder. It's a bit country for me, but whatever. But he's got this song called How He Loves. Have a listen to these words, because I think he gets it, just a bit like John Donne. But he says this. This is the lyrics from his song. And he is jealous for me. Loves like a hurricane, I am a tree. Bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy, when all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions I'm dealing with, eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. And we are his portion and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If his grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. You know, when you get into the presence of God and you spend that time with him and you open up and you surrender to his love and you start to experience that and you get captivated and you get enthralled and you get ravished, all of a sudden it's just like you're just lost in that moment. You just begin to realize that that guilt, that shame, he's taken care of that. I don't need to carry that. That burden, when I'm actually in his presence, I'm reminded of how big he is, and my problem begins to become so terribly small in the light of his glory and grace. We need to repent for our lack of softness. You know, in our household, we've got this saying, particularly when my girls are playing sport. It's like, suck it up, princess. Like, drink a can of Harden Up. You need to take a spoonful of cement powder and just harden up. Seriously, suck it up. Get out there and just have a crack. It's like I'm ferociously competitive. I'm not loud and I'm not showy about it. I just hate losing. If I start playing any kind of game, I kind of got to be very careful. And it's like, one thing I can't stand, and hate's a strong word, but I'm going to put it in that category. One thing, I've been called soft. Anyone that calls me soft, it's not an invitation, by the way, people. Please don't. Test of character. But just, you know, just that word soft. But do you know what? If I'm ever going to be accused of being soft in my heart and my love for Jesus Christ, I'll wear that with a badge of honour. That you know what, you know, yes, the struggles and the temptations and those things that you trip over, yes, they may have power in your life, but when you are getting ravished and when you get enthralled by the love of Jesus and his love comes into your life, can break the power of any kind of bondage, chain, temptation, hang up that you actually have in your life when you allow him to do that in you. So the first one, love God with all. How do we do that? Just let him ravish you. Enthrall you. The second one, let's keep moving. Don't give up on believing for miracles, signs, wonders, and the supernatural. You want to start strong in 2023 and you want to stay strong. We as a church are pressing into the supernatural more than ever before. We've already started to see God move so powerfully. You know, there's somebody in this room as I was preparing, you need to hear me talk about Peter getting out of the boat and walking on water. I don't know who it is, but I want to encourage you this morning. You're hearing from God. That even though everyone else is staying in the boat because the economic conditions are like this, inflation's this, interest rates are this and that, God is calling you to get out of the boat, do something crazy, get out of the comfort zone, get into the courage zone. When everyone else is stay safe, I'm here to just let you know you're hearing from God. Get out of the boat. You know, in our meetings we had last year, and words of knowledge or prophetic words or words of wisdom that would come out in our altitude nights or through our youth ministry and different ministries that operate in the life of this church. You know, God was moving so powerfully. God's doing so many great things. God would give words and people getting healed of different things, but we're only just scratching the surface. No disrespect, Lord, but that was last year. Guess what? He's got more and he's got new things. We haven't begun to see, church, what our God's got in store for those who believe. And I believe, and I think I'm in a room with others who believe. And so this morning, don't stop believing in the miraculous and the supernatural. We don't take the credit, we don't take the blame, but we won't hold back from praying. Got situations, even in my own life, of stuff that I never thought were going to happen, have actually just started to happen miraculously. Miraculously. Salvation of somebody that I just never thought would have happened. Incredible. The greatest miracle that could ever happen for somebody who I thought was so far that way. God has one of the most profound conversions I've seen in a very long time. See, that's what God is wanting to do. You know, like, it reminds me, and I know some of you know this, but Ezekiel being standing in front of the Valley of Dry Bones for me is one of my favorites. Just stirs my spirit when the Lord takes Ezekiel out in a vision. He stands over a valley of dry bones, and a lot of us are in work environments and at uni or in school, and we look out and it's nothing but dry bones. It's so dry. We need the spiritual rain, and guess what? You're the rainmaker, you're the rain carrier, you're the one that's supposed to bring the Holy Ghost rain to that place, to bring life to that place, because we have a God that's in the business of taking that which is dead and bringing it back to life. So don't think your situation is impossible. Yes, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible, church. We're not going to stop believing for the miraculous, signs and wonders and the supernatural. So as Ezekiel is standing there, and the Lord says to Ezekiel, "Yo, Zeke, can these bones live?" I like Ezekiel's response here, because he says, "You alone know, Lord." That's a smart. You know, when God asks you a question, it's not because he needs to know the answer. He wants you to know the answer. He's not testing your intellect. He's testing your faith to go, hang on, do you believe in what I've actually asked you to do? And so he says, "Hey, well, speak to the bones." Some of us need to start speaking to our situations. Some of us need to start speaking to the situations, the work environment, the toxic culture, the problems, that personality that you are confronted with, the issue in our family, whatever the case may be, we need to start speaking to it and prophesying it. I felt strongly that some of us need to start prophesying to our mortgages. Yes, interest rates are going up, inflation, cost of living going up. Some of us need to actually speak. I command that debt, that mountain in my life, to be cast into the sea in Jesus' name, and allow God and begin to allow God and give him space to move in your situation. See, this year God's got more for us, church. Not more for me, more through me. I don't think some of you don't want more. It's very quiet. You want more? Great. Great. Because he's got it for you. But like he said, so God says, okay, speak to the dry bones. Ezekiel speaks. Do you know what happens? I love this, because all of a sudden there's these metatarsal and tarsal bones all come together with a calcaneum and a talus, and they form a foot. Then there's a tibia and a fibula jump on top of that. Then there's a femur that jumps on top of that. And then there's some patellas, some kneecaps sit in place. And then there's like butterflies floating around, some pelvises jump in. But then there's a coccyx, a sacrum, lumbar, thoracic and cervical vertebra there. And the discs come and jump in between. There's spare ribs flying around everywhere. Then there's some more butterflies, some scapula, some shoulder blades come and sit on that rib cage. Then there's a humerus, a radius, an ulna, some carpal bones sitting in there. All of a sudden it's like a 10-pin bowling alley, and there's skulls rolling around everywhere, and skulls are jumping on heads, and that's not my body, and they switch and change and stuff like that. But do you know what? He who has begun a good work in your life will bring it to completion. They're not just dry bones, church. They're not just dry bones, because all of a sudden the muscles start forming, the plantar muscles, the tibialis anterior, the peroneals, the soleus and the gastrocnemius come there. And then we've got the quadriceps, the sartorius, the rectus femur, the iliotibial band, TFL, all come into place. And the hamstrings of semimembranosus, semitendinosus, and the biceps femoris are all there. And we're all grateful for the junk in the trunk right now. What you're sitting on, your gluteus maximus and your gluteus medius is there. The erector spinae and the back muscles, the rhomboids, the latissimus dorsi, and then there's the Calvin Klein six-pack, your rectus abdominis, your internal, external obliques are all there. Your pectorals are there. There's some guns. There's some biceps there. There's a triceps there as well. And there's the forearm flexors and extensors are all there. And then we get to the head, and there's all these muscles that are there, the frontalis, occipitalis. And then there's muscles of mastication. Be careful how you say that one. If you're not sure, it's for chewing. If you're confused, mastication.
And there's all these, but like you could just imagine Ezekiel's freaking out because there's this weird looking army of just flesh, and God's really cool, lay some skin on me, brother, and they've got skin. I don't know if these guys have hair, but Ezekiel's freaking out. He's thinking, wow, this is ridiculous what my God can do. He says, but they're not alive because they need the breath. You know what, maybe dry bones, there may be people around you that are walking, but they're existing, they're not living, because we're not truly alive until the breath of God comes into us upon our confession of faith that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's what we're called to carry. That's what we're called to bring to the people that we're working with and that we live next door to and that we go to the cafe to get our coffee from. That's where we are. And we cannot and we will not stop believing in the miraculous and the supernatural and the wonders that our God wants to do. The last one. Last one is, help me with my unbelief. Help me with my unbelief. Does anyone here find it hard to ask for help? I think, you know what, as a general principle, I think in our church we do. Because we're pretty comfortable and we've got access to a lot of things. We've got a lot of safety nets in place. So to actually ask for help is a hard thing to do until we hit a crisis or a life or death situation. And then we ask for help. But can I suggest that maybe some of those crises could be avoided if we just took some time to humble ourselves and try and identify some areas in our lives that we may have unbelief or wrong belief attached to them. And that's a really hard thing to do. And let me finish with this passage. It's a great story because Jesus sent the disciples out, preached on this last year, but something stood out to me that I just wanted to bring home this morning, and that is that Jesus sent his disciples out. They get confronted with a dad and his son. Son, demon-possessed and was self-harming and just not in a good way. And the disciples couldn't do it. The disciples couldn't cast the demon out. And as a pastor, let me assure you, there's lots of things I can't do. I need Jesus every single day. And Jesus gives the key to the breakthrough to this, that certain things only come about through prayer and fasting is the end result of this teaching. And that's another key for us in 2023. But the point I want to draw from this passage today is the conversation that Jesus then has this conversation with the dad. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You see, sometimes I don't think we're desperate enough to see our friends come to Jesus. If we had that revelation that Jesus Christ is really the only way, the only truth, the only life, he's the only one that can heal people from the terminal disease called sin, that they're facing a Christless eternity in hell if they don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this dad says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us. He's desperate. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father, check out this response, and this is the clincher here. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And then Jesus does what he did. You see, Jesus came to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. And as I finish this up, I might make a few people uncomfortable, but that's okay. Are we willing to be honest about areas in our life where there may be unbelief? And maybe we've come to a comfortable place. Maybe we've been a Christian for a while and now we've got this sort of Christian thing. We're ticking the conscience boxes weekly and we're doing all the habits and we're in this comfortable space, but without sounding, this is not a judgmental call. I'm asking myself this question, what fruit is my life producing? What's holding me back from being fruitful? What's holding me back from being an impact, to being light, being salt in my world? Maybe some of us would say to me, hey, Phil, I'd rather go deeper in our theology. But you know what I find is sometimes that's an excuse to not even put into practice the basic things that we should be actioning on the daily. Now, Katie sent me this message in Feb 2021, and it doesn't normally take me that long to get back to messages, by the way. That's funny. But I stumbled across it again, and Joel LaBelle, an Australian pastor, found himself and a couple of pastors talking about, you know, people wanting to go deeper in theology, and he just sort of found himself blurting out, deep theology is divinity in practice. And he just referred back to what Jesus said was the greatest commandment, loving the Lord your God with all, and love your neighbour as yourself. And maybe the underlying unbelief in our life is that maybe we think that I don't have what it takes to share Jesus with others. I don't know how. I'm afraid of what people might think. I'm fearful of what others. I believe that I'm not capable of doing that, which is the wrong belief. It's unbelief. What will happen to my reputation? What will happen if I stand up for the truth? What will happen? Maybe we put more weight on what other people think than what God thinks. Maybe we believe it's more important to please man than it is to please God, because maybe we believe that God can't move. You don't know my circumstance, Phil. You don't know the work I work in. You don't know the political, the social environment I work in. You don't know the opposition. If I talk, if I say this, if I say that, then yep, and I understand all of that, but maybe you're putting more weight in the authority and power of the opposition that you're facing as opposed to the authority and supreme power that our Almighty God has. Because if you don't think God has a strategy, a key, if you don't think that God doesn't have the words for you in your situation, that's the wrong belief. That's unbelief. And so maybe some of us this year, and we've been talking about the power of invitation, just inviting people. If they come, great. If they don't, you know what? Doesn't matter. We just do what we're meant to do. Pray for people. Invite people to come and encounter the presence of God. Opportunity to come into their own relationship with Jesus Christ. But we do that. But I think some of us are afraid to even invite people. Do you know what I think part of that is? It comes back to the first one. We're not enthralled. We're not ravished with the love of Jesus, because the Jesus that I know and the Jesus that I connect with on the daily, I want every single person that I meet to come into and experience that for themselves. How can I keep that to myself? I've given my life to this. I'm not boasting today, but I believe and I love Jesus so much. I've heeded the call to give up a whole bunch of stuff and not sound like a tosser, but I think I could probably do pretty well in some other things. But the love of Jesus has raptured me and enthralled me and captivated me. There's nothing else that I can do. I just want people to know about the love of Jesus Christ. And if I don't have a microphone, it doesn't change my passion. We need to be ravished and enthralled, because I can't meet someone and not sort of talk about Jesus at some point. At some point in our relationship with people, we've got to just step out, take that risk. Lay it all on the line, because Jesus Christ laid it all on the line for us. And this morning, what you're going to find at the front of this auditorium is a line on the carpet. On one side, it's your past. And in front of you is the future. And maybe there's something that you just need to leave in the past. Maybe that's that thing that you stumble, that you trip over, that you fall over, that you just have not found victory in. But you're making a decision. You're drawing a line in the sand. You're crossing over into your future, where you're just going to make that commitment in 2023. I'm going to live, and I'm going to be desperate, surrendered, submitted, open to being ravished and enthralled by the love of Jesus, because His love has power to cover a multitude of sins and break the chains that are holding me back and limiting me from living out my future. Maybe some of us just need to just come and just go, you know what, I'm leaving 2022 and every year behind that, and I'm just stepping into the future. I'm not sure what it's going to hold, but you know what, when I put myself in God's hand, I know it's going to be good. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be good. So would you stand with me this morning as we close this service? All we can do is provide the opportunity. Now, if you don't come out and stand out across the line, I'm not going to be offended. But a call to action this morning is just simply what we've said. And when you're ready, I'm going to just ask the band to play. You might want to come and just stand for a minute, and you just want to just go, you know what, I'm leaving the past behind and I'm stepping into freedom. I'm stepping into my future. I'm stepping into all that God has for me. And I'm telling you, as the pastor of this church, I'm stepping into the future that God's got for Compass Church, because I know it's good. It's better than anything we've experienced before. That's not cliche. We're seeing it happen. So as you worship, maybe you just want to go, Father, I just repent of my lack of love for you, Jesus. Come and enthrall me this morning in this place. If you're okay, if you want that to happen afresh this morning, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, maybe this God thing is kind of all new to you, I just invite you to raise your hands towards heaven, the universal sign of surrender. Would you do that with me this morning? Everyone in the room, if you're comfortable to do that. And first of all, can we just say, Jesus, I give you my life. And then I want you to just have your own personal little internal dialogue with Jesus right now and just say, Jesus, come and ravish me. Come and enthrall me. Come, reveal your love in me. Come and flood my life with your love. Whatever space is taken up by failures, mistakes, guilt, shame, condemnation, it's just going to start to dissipate. It's going to start to lose its hold. As the love of God begins to course through your veins, as the love of God begins to course through every cell in your body this morning, you're going to start to come alive again. Some of you in this room, you've just been dry and just been, just allow God. I just prophesy right now into this room. I just release the Spirit of God into this room to come and fill people afresh this morning with the life-giving power of God, the life-giving love of God in this room right now. Just receive that in Jesus' name. As your hands are surrendered in Jesus' name. And we're just going to worship, but when you're ready, why don't you just come in your own time. Just be calm and just stand and then step over into your future in Jesus' name.
Oh God, my God, I need you. How I need you.